You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. This month's Engineering Committee meeting will be held on July 11th at 7 p.m. The meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Tune in to KBOO for our annual live broadcast of the Waterfront Blues Festival, broadcasting from Thursday, July 4th through Sunday, July 7th from noon to 10 p.m. This year's festival lineup includes St. Paul and the Broken Bones, Say She She, and Green Sky Bluegrass. Again, that's KBOO's broadcast of the Waterfront Blues Festival live from the Tomacull Waterfront, starting at noon from Thursday, July 4th through Sunday, July 7th. More information can be found at kboo.fm/wbf24.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM.
Yeah. trying to change my answering machine. Now that I'm alone, cause right now it says that we can't come to the phone. And I know it makes no sense, cause you walked out the door, but it's the only way I hear your voice anymore. It's ridiculous, it's been months, for some reason I just stronger than this, yeah.
Enough is enough.
No more walking around with my head down. I'm so over being blue, crying over you. And I'm so sick of love songs, so tired of tears, so done with wishing you were still here. Said I'm so sick of love songs, so sad and slow. So why can't July 15th, because since there's no more you, there's no more anniversary. I'm so fed up with my thoughts of you and your memory, and how every song reminds me of what used to be. That's the reason I'm so sick of love songs, so tired of tears, so done with wishing you are still here. Said I'm so sick of love songs, sad and slow. So why can't I turn off the radio? Oh,
leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
Oh, love song.
Hey, don't make me think about her smile or having my first child. I'm letting go. Turning off the radio, cause I'm so sick of love song.
So
done with wishing she was still here. Said I'm so sick of love song, so sad and slow. So why can't I turn off the radio?
Why can't I turn off?
And I'm so sick of love song, so tired of
testing, testing. All right. And we are back. Thank you, everybody, for the patience and the technical difficulties over here. It's Friday. It's summertime. We're hanging out. How are you guys doing over there in studio too?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Doing good.
Morning.
Wake up, everybody.
Time to wake up. That's right.
Rise and shine.
Oh my gosh. We are the Let's Talk Podcast Collective. We are an assembled group of creators, advocates, people, and we're from Portland Community College, and we like talking about disability culture and advocating for disability culture wherever we go. Why don't you guys do a round robin in there and introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Medic Ray. I'm a student at PCC. I also work at the Legal Resources Center at PCC Cascade. I'm a community organizer, and I have 25 years worth of mutual aid experience with houseless folks.
Hi, my name is Asher. I am a audio technician as a part of the Let's Talk Podcast Collective.
And hi, my name is Michelle, and I am a student advocate.
All right, and my name is Carrie Cantrell. I'm over here in the air room working on the mixing board like a chief, feeling like a big shot.
You're doing good, Carrie. You're doing good.
Rocking it.
Yes.
Well, one of the most recent political developments in Portland is the camping ban, which came into effect. And there's been a lot of dialogue about this in the public sphere. And as we all know, the houseless community is impacted very, very much by disability and disability justice. There's a large sort of cross-section in those two Venn diagrams, in the disability community and the houseless community. And Medic Ray over here, a local organizer with some anti-fascist and pro-people movements, is here to talk about their firsthand experiences with some recent actions. Can you actually walk us through the ban and the legislation that we're facing right now in Portland?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks so much for having me. It's a real honor and a privilege to be here to speak on behalf of marginalized communities and other organizers and activists in the community. You know, it's been an ongoing battle with the houseless encampment bill. It's been back and forth. It's been struck down. It's been reinstated. And the title is HB 3115. And basically, the city leaders and the county leaders were waiting on the Supreme Court to rule on the Grants Pass camping bill. And once the Supreme Court ruled on the Grants Pass camping bill, that opened the door for local jurisdictions to start criminalizing houselessness and marginalization. And that's exactly what we're seeing. It's a very long bill, and I've read all of it, but I'll give you a small, you know, just debrief. Basically, what it states is that if there is available shelter offered to you as a marginalized houseless person, you must take it. And if you do not, you can be sent to jail for up to 7 days or, fines, fees. If there is no available shelter, the bill sets forth stipulations about what you can and cannot do while you camp.
I see. And what sort of stipulations are those? What sort of details? Like, because obviously when you're faced with a situation, maybe you've been kicked out of housing or you've not been able to keep employment due to disability, anything like this, if you lose those final resources to keep your life together, oftentimes the only resources that someone would have is what they have around them to take care of themselves. And so what sort of regulations is the city now passing on people who are at that level of existence?
Okay, so they're placing regulation on no burning fires, no digging into the ground, no blocking public abatements and sidewalks. Mm-hmm. No fixing of bicycles on the sidewalks, no excess belongings on the sidewalks. You know, it's a whole list of no, 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 no. Mm. And I don't see very many yeses out for our marginalized communities. Mm. Some of the most vulnerable populations in the city are on the street.
That's right. May I ask, what are y'all's opinions? Wasn't there also a big kerfuffle from the ADA? About a challenge using the ADA protections and the rights of access for people in chairs on the sidewalk in Portland. I think it was only just a year or two ago, and it sounds like some of that language was included in the new bill about keeping sidewalks clear. However, other things that are generally publicly available in a society, like being able to cook and heat your own food, being able to hygienically, use the toilet and store your belongings in some place, it sounds like it's not available. Do you guys have any questions, Hannah, Michelle? Sorry, I put my serious hat on and then I start like drilling people.
Yeah, no worries, Carrie. I've not really heard too much about the band camp as far as what I've heard just now from Medic Ray. But yeah, it sounds like a very serious issue, honestly. Just not being able to keep yourself warm during, like, maybe even the harshest winters, and not being able to have, like, a certain place, I would say. Like, I don't know. What are, like, the other... I can't really think of the word. rules and regulations that are just being put down on them, or like what's being done about this situation?
Well, I can give a brief example. I was out in the field, handing out flyers for the legal clinic the other day, and I noticed the state police are just everywhere, on foot, on bikes, in 4x4s, and they are going around and ticketing houseless people, and they are going around harassing houseless people. People with nothing, you know. And so if they see you using your substance of choice to cope with your PTSD, if they see that you have too many things outside of your campsite, they're gonna say something. I saw people being ticketed for drug use. I saw one person put in handcuffs. I'm not really sure what that's all about. And so they come. They will say, okay, you can't have this outside the camp. You can't be burning this fire. And we have a shelter bed for you to go to. And you need to accept this. And here's the problem. Not all shelter is healthy. Not all shelter is good. Not all shelter is clean. Because the conditions in most shelters in Portland are deplorable. Not all, but most. There are shelters that house men and women, trans and non-binary people, all in the same room. Mm-hmm. Most of the shelters are full of bed bugs. I know that the workers try to do the best that they can with the budgets that they have, but they are not optimal conditions for recovery, for mental health treatment, mm-hmm. for... It's just a place where people can go to sleep and then be forced back out on the street during the day. How is that helping people? You know, so the state police will come, and also I think the local police might be involved as well. They will offer, if you don't take it, you're getting a ticket, or perhaps you might be going to jail. Mm-hmm. You know, how is that helping anything?
Yeah.
How does that help people that have been marginalized, stepped over, and basically left to die? This sounds like genocide to me, and to see it happening in a town that I love so much, it just brings me so much pain.
So sad.
That is so sad.
Yeah.
And I found the article that Carrie was talking about with the ADA lawsuit settlement.
Yeah.
And I guess Portland puts at least $3 million towards removals. And it's like, why can't we put $3 million towards, like, more homeless shelters?
Oh, yeah.
Or more things that are actually going to help people and address the problem.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Are there, like, any resources given out to, like, these people, like you were saying?
Street Roots puts out wonderful resource books. I did notice that right before the camping ban, went into effect, you would see these little handouts pasted up on bus stations and in public areas with you can scan the QR code and it'll show you where the list of shelters are. It was a pamphlet about what to expect. But what about the majority of people out there don't have cell phones? They can't scan a QR code. A lot of my clients are so far gone mentally, they don't even know what's happening. We don't have adequate mental health treatment here. Mm. I have a notebook full of people that need mental health treatment, that want to go to detox, that want to get off the street. There are no beds.
Mm.
You know, and I just want to address our politicians. Why are you so busy, like, painting QR codes on the sidewalk for people to scan? And why are you so busy putting lights on trees and painting trees blue and all the things that you all do to beautify the city? I understand you want it to be a beautiful place, but you're placing beautification before the lives of human beings. And all that money that's being spent on beautification and trying to make the city more appealing so the tourists will come back and spend money, and so people won't move away, that could be better spent fixing the problem. Putting people into housing, putting people into mental health treatment, putting people into detox, giving people a shot at life and some dignity.
Mm.
You've got your priorities in the wrong order. And I just call upon all of you to revisit how the money is being spent and to make some changes.
Mm. Yeah, it's a little bit like having an injury and like trying to put a bandage on it.
Yeah, when you really need surgery.
When you really need surgery, or you really need to like look at it. Like, don't just turn away. Like, look.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I found like an article in the American Psychologist that like in the 1950s and 60s, homelessness declined to the point where researchers were predicting its virtual disappearance in the 1970s.
No way.
Yeah.
It's insane. What? Well, that didn't happen.
That did not happen.
No. It's like, this article was published in like 1990. And then instead in the 1980s, homelessness increased rapidly and drastically changed in composition.
Oh, man.
What made them think it was going to go away?
Because it was decreasing so much. And yeah, I'm not sure with like all the policies that were happening, but I think like if you look at it back then, there were probably like, I don't know, Social Security or more like community-based efforts that were like successful in like keeping people off the street.
Yeah. And so you bring up, you know, some of these things that they were doing back then. In Denver gave guaranteed income to folks that were marginalized and experiencing houselessness. I believe it was $1,000 a month, and it was about 50% who were able to get and maintain housing with that money. And the amount of money that it saved the city in sweeps and in shelter costs and things of that nature, I think it was close to over $500,000.
Wow.
And so just that basic guaranteed income gave individuals a platform to get off the street, get the help they needed, remain housed, be able to return to work and school, and to build a life and to become, you know, people that were formerly houseless, to become, you know, productive residents of the community now who must give back.
And that's crazy, because $1,000, like, that is not that much money.
No.
And like, yeah, rent is more than $1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rent is like skyrocketing now.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. I was talking to Ray just now outside of the studio, just like how much rent is costing and just how much owning a house now is more than renting. Like, just thinking about like paying the mortgage and paying the down payment of a house.
The anxiety alone of thinking about how to house yourself, even if you're not currently houseless or currently experiencing like a crisis.
Yeah.
If you're vulnerable to mental health, just the anxiety alone is enough to like make you put you in an unhealthy space.
For sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. Even folks that are housed have rent anxiety, have paycheck anxiety, have bill anxiety. You can see it on people's faces walking through the streets, you know, just regular folks. You know, Portland used to be the most friendly place, you know, and it was a wonderful place to spend time in. And now people, you can see the sadness in people's eyes. People are disconnected. People don't speak to each other anymore. Mm. People are just trying to survive, and it's taking such a toll on folks that people have become so insular, and we've become so insular as a community.
Yeah.
Mm. And that needs to change.
I'm really resisting the whole pay-to-play situation in Portland right now. I really am. Sometimes I try and keep up, you know, hanging out with people. There's so many times you meet folks in Portland just make more money than you. Most people who move to Portland for work, it's because they've got like a high-tech job or they're in management, corporate something, you know, and I'm not that. And so sometimes I try and keep up, and like I want to go to brunch in Alberta and stuff like that. But I'm actually really good and thankful that I've got skills to take care of myself and a house to do that with. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then a community to lean on and engage with. So that's what I'm grateful for. And I hear the stress and anxiety of many, many other people in Portland right now regarding housing. We've got about 5 minutes left for the show. Do you guys want to do some wrap-up thoughts? And Michelle, I think you've got a list of some, was it events in Portland that are accessible?
No, I mean, I have just like a lot of data about disability and homelessness. like disabled or so people who are disabled are at a higher risk for becoming homeless than those able-bodied.
We'll link all that data if you're listening right now, we will link all of that data onto our show page after our broadcast. We'll put a list up of speakers and resources and ways that you can get in touch with the Podcast Collective if you go to kboo.fm/shows/letstalk. So yeah, let's do our wrap-up thoughts.
Okay, well, I guess I'll go. I say this all the time to people. The politicians cannot fix this. They've done the best that they can. They're overworked. They're overwhelmed. They're undereducated. They don't have enough experience in the streets to really understand how to fix this. It is our responsibility to fix this as a community. It is our responsibility to take help those that are super marginalized, disabled, mentally ill, dying in the streets. And we can do that through mutual aid. And I'm happy to teach mutual aid to anyone in this community that wants to learn free of charge. And we can also make our displeasure known through civil disobedience. And we've been camping nonviolently at City Hall. And those campouts will continue, and we will continue to serve marginalized communities at the campouts. I self-fund all my mutual aid, and if you'd like to contribute, you can Venmo me at PDX Ray. That's PDX REY. 100% of all donations goes to our marginalized houseless communities. Food, water, supplies, clothing, whatever we can do to help people. We are out there. Come see us this Saturday while we're out and about.
All right. And we'll put that contact information on the KBOO page as well. Asher?
Thank you so much, Meta Gray, for just educating us and telling us all about the situation with the homeless people out in Portland. It's so heartbreaking just to see that. And I hope for all our listeners out there that we can make a change. Yeah.
Agreed. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us.
And as a reminder to anybody who is listening, if you are a student at PCC, you can always go to Portland Community College Basic Needs Department if you're experiencing at-risk issues regarding food or housing. We have the CLEAR Clinic for legal issues if you're facing an eviction or any other trials. We have lots and lots of resources. So please reach out to the Basic Needs Department at PCC. You can also just reach out to one of your instructors and they can connect you, or really just anybody. PCC is a great community. I love being a student there, and it's pretty telling that I chose to work there after I graduated. And one last reminder to our audience, the views and opinions that were expressed during this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or positions of Portland Community College, PCC Foundation, or KBOO-FM. Thank you for listening to Let's Talk, PCC's broadcast about disability culture. And as a reminder, you can find more information and resources concerning this episode at kboo.fm/shows. And you can also go to pcc.edu/DCA and follow the link to Let's Talk Podcast Collective. We work with accessible education and disability resources at PCC, the PCC Multimedia Center and Department, and KBOO. We're posting newly recorded content bi-weekly, and we're here on KBOO-FM on the first Friday of every month for a live show and the last Friday for a pre-recorded show. Thanks again for listening.
It's your eyes. I swear they're looking at me. That was good.
That was so good.
I hope I didn't talk. Melodies, mix it with the smile, babe. They come together for the perfect harmony. Prettiest song than ever.